Oh my gosh.
Put your hands together for new Dr. Pepper Blackberry and Dr. Pepper Blackberry Zero Sugar.
There she is! Woohoo! Yeah! It's full Dr. Pepper!
With sweet blackberry flavor!
Dr. Pepper Blackberry, I'm obsessed with your succulent taste. Please marry me!
No! Marry me! Marry me, or I'm gonna freak out!
Try new Dr. Pepper Blackberry.
It's a pepper thing!
At KFC, everyday value meets big flavor. That means getting six crispy pieces of delicious dark meat drums and thighs, plus four biscuits, all for just $10 with our Dine and Dash deal. All that juicy, original recipe chicken for only 10 bucks every day. Now that's finger-licking good. Hurry into KFC and taste the deal we're cooking up. Limited time only. Prices and participation may vary. While supplies last, tax, tip, and fees extra. Not available on third-party ordering platforms.
Chickity check yourself before you wreck yourself. Chickity check yourself before you wreck yourself. One, two. You're here with the screw bringing you the flu. Because my dick's got gonorrhea.
You're listening to The Screw. Why don't you do the fucking intro?
Wait, we already have an intro.
Well, we say hello usually. We're like, yo, what up? It's The Screw with Felicia Rose and A-Love.
Perfect.
Well, why don't you say it?
Wow, that's a lot of pressure. Now I understand why you're like punting it this week.
I just did it. Never mind. Hey, everybody. Thanks for fucking tuning in to another week of us talking about garbage. Speaking of garbage, my pussy. I went to the gynecologist. And, you know, I do my wellness checkups of my puss on my own, typically, in between insurance, of course. You got to make sure you're getting tested and stuff regularly. However, my actual cavernous situation hadn't been...
How was it?
Like, the stalactites hadn't been excavated in a while.
And did the spelunker find anything to be concerned of?
No, I don't think so. I don't know. He wasn't like, ah! What is he eating my hand? He also didn't find anything inside of me, so that was cool.
Never know what could get left behind.
As the saying goes.
Even just lighters alone.
I know, they're always in there.
I really expected the... be an archive.
Yeah. No, it was cool. I'll say this. The doctor's office definitely had pubes on the floor and somebody's fingernail. The waiting room and, like, the hallway into the actual rooms was clean as shit. It was, yeah. Nice. It was fine. Everybody was super sweet there. Like, my doctors, everybody. But, like, the actual room itself was the dirtiest, filthiest room I've ever been in. And I've been in, like... you know, free clinics, yeah. Lots of free clinics. And never have I ever been in a hospital that takes insurance that yeah. Fucking had pubes. Like, or I'm not talking about like somebody had just been in there and like yeah. Left a pube behind. I'm talking about like a valley of pubes and fucking a fingernail that harvested popped off speculum situation.
The question I have is, why is there a valley? What did you refer to?
I don't know. A fucking tunnel of pubes.
Why are there so many pubes?
I don't know, but even if it's just somebody's hair that's fallen out, either way, that's not sanitary. My shoeless feet are on the floor.
Do you think they shaved somebody and forgot to clean it up?
No, it didn't look like shaved pubes. Okay. It looked like fallen out, just, you know.
Like somebody gave a good scratch.
No, like, you know, like your hair falls out of your head. If you have a lot of pubes, I'm assuming you lose pubes here and there. And some people, somebody probably lost a pube or two. When you're getting it, listen, if you have pubes and you're getting a speculum put in, I'm assuming that you can lose a pube or two in the process. But, like, there was a lot of them. And then there was a lot of just hair on the floor in general.
So what's with the fingernail then? Exactly. That sounds like a crime scene.
I know. And there was also, it looked like blood on the floor. It was like sputum. I was like, yo, for real right now? But, like, the one, I'll say this. So this is a new gynecologist. I've always had the same gynecologist my whole life. Including, he pulled me out of my mother's pussy.
Like, that is a very unique and special.
He was the first man to ever see my puss. Oh. And he then continued to be the man to then, you know, excavate as an adult. And so when I changed over, obviously, like, I wanted another man doctor. I prefer a man because it's a very... I always just, you know, we all have our own, like, whatever. But I feel like it's an unbiased opinion to have a man inside of your pussy. You know what I mean? Like... It's they don't have a vagina. They don't know what they're looking for unless they know, right? If you don't know, now you know. So I was very nervous about getting a new doctor.
Why were you nervous? Oh, because of the previous bond? Because I'm a
sex worker. And the other part of the previous bond is that I was obviously very open and honest. You know, he knew, even though the hospital was like a Catholic-run organization, like overall, and like they didn't, you know, do abortions on site or anything like that. Right. I was so honest with the guy. He knew how many partners I had at all times. He knew I had been fucking raped. He knew.
And this was a Russian doll doctor.
That's a great way of putting it. Yeah. bloop. Exactly. So like he's right. My whole family goes from the whole nine. And he also knew I was bisexual. I had a lot of partners. Never any judgment. Even like.
That's awesome. That's so rare from a family.
When he found out that I was pregnant and that I had to have an abortion, or not had to have, I should say, and that I wanted to have an abortion, he immediately was like, hey, so heads up, you're pregnant. But you're obviously not probably going to keep it, but we can't do that here. So you know where to go and everything. He like made sure that even though he doesn't offer that service, he still wanted to make sure and follow up.
And that probably would have made that organization super uncomfortable to find that out, right?
Of course. Well, the first guy that gave me the news wasn't my doctor. It was the guy was filling in for him. Mm-hmm. And he fucking came into me to give me the announcement as if it was like the best day of my life. He was like, well, the good news is you don't have chlamydia. I was like, okay. And he was like, and the better news, I was like, better news than not chlamydia. I came here to make sure I didn't have chlamydia.
Bonus?
I got a call from a past partner saying, hey, I just tested positive for chlamydia.
Well, good that they called.
They also called to accuse me of giving it to them. So I was like,
asshole.
I'm going to go right now and check that out to make sure you're wrong. And if not, then my bad. But also, I'll call my phone tree too.
Yeah.
And my snatch tree. And so the original director comes in, the better news, you're pregnant. I was like,
well, that's an interesting.
I was like, cool. Interesting
framing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, that was horrible. But anyway, so this doctor, he was like, how many partners do you have? I was just like a ton, like a lot. And he was like, excuse me? Like, he didn't really hear it. And I was like, no, I have a lot of partners. And I was like, I don't know what the number is. And he was just, and I was like, I was like, no, seriously, I wanted to come in here and find a doctor I could be honest with. I'm a sex worker. And he was just like, he immediately goes with no judgment or hesitation or any, like the only hesitation was because he couldn't hear what I said, right? Like that was the only time he ever was like, excuse me. Like he never once, he literally just didn't hear me well because I was mumbling. Like, and he go without any hesitation, he goes, okay, so how many partners do you think a day? No judgment in his voice. Just a day. I was like, oh, that was really sweet. No, I don't do it that much. I'm sorry. I'd say at most a couple a week, you know, like, and it was just like so sweet. I was like, I could hug you right now. To hear, like, listen, I've had a fucking, a nurse who was just checking me out for, like, just a nurse who was just checking me out for, like, my lungs to make sure I didn't have bronchitis go through, like, those general practitioner questions with me and judge me and be like, and do you use condoms with all those people? So, like, to find somebody that's, like, truly, like,
that's awesome.
Not judgmental, knows I'm bi, like, the whole
that's
nine.
That's great news.
He was super cool. The other part, though, I brought up, I was like, so, the other part is that I also have sex with men who have sex with men. And I also have a lot of sex, and yes, I use condoms, but I'm not going to tell you it's 100% protected 100% of the time. That's just ridiculous for me to lie to
you. Well, that's not real life.
It's not real life. It's not 100%. And I was like, so I would say that I would like to do some kind of harm and or risk reduction of some sort. So sure. I think I should be on some kind of like HIV prep, Truvada.
How did he respond to that?
And he was like, oh, okay. He was like, well, there is obviously a downside, like you could still give it to other people even though you're not contract. And I was just like, okay, I was like, that's fine, but I do know the downsides of it. I also have a friend that's on it and I would still like to be put on it. And he kind of just didn't really address it after that. So he did a workup on all my other stuff and he like sent away for like an ultrasound because I have
did the HIV test you?
Everything. The whole nine. Like, and a thyroid test because I've been bleeding for 3 months. Like he wanted to make sure that I'm he was like, okay? I'm going to do all the other stuff just in case you don't see a doctor soon. Like, I'm going to take care of you.
Yeah.
But that's the one thing he didn't readdress is the prep. And I was, like, very kind of weird about that. What do you think? Like, do you think that because I'm just a fucking woman, that that's not...
Mm-hmm.
But I told him I'm a fucking sex worker and I have sex with men.
Yeah.
Unprotected. And I have sex with men that have sex with men, which is the higher fucking risk group. So, like, I don't understand, right? Right. Like, I'm not saying... Am I saying anything incorrect?
No.
Men who have sex with men are in a higher risk group. Am I correct?
Yeah, by CDC standards, for sure.
By CDC standards, that is the correct answer.
Yeah.
So if I am a woman that does sex work regularly and also has sex with men who have sex with men, should I not
be
on PrEP?
I mean, so my understanding, and obviously this is an interesting conversation to have because, you know, to a big degree, this is a queer-centered, like, queer male-centered like campaign in some ways, even though New York has tried to be really good about representation in their ads of women, heterosexual couples, homosexual couples, right, trans couples.
Well, that's the whole what I was going to say. I was going to say, I thought I saw on the Subway Truvada ads that had women on it.
Absolutely. It's not like HIV medication is only for men.
Exactly. It, of course. And it's not like only men are spreading HIV or contracting HIV. Like,
I think
just because there's a by the CDC standards, a group that's more at risk does not mean that there aren't groups of people that should still, that are still considered at risk too. Like, that's
so what I would say that this is more of a product of, and we already know this to be true, is like the general still, even though New York is like a state that's definitely tried to have buy-in with their NAIDS campaign, you know, which meant like all sorts of initiatives to pay for Truvada, give people access. I'm on a PrEP program myself. They pay for the medication and the doctor's visits. So if you live in New York City and the state in general, it's a state program. Please look into it.
So like, do you think it's just like the doctor doesn't have a lot of like...
I don't think they're educated on it.
I was going to say education, but maybe not that, but a lot of, you know... like practice with that, like maybe that's just not something that he gets asked.
That's what I was gonna say.
By women,
I feel like there's not a lot of females coming in and asking, and that's unfortunate, especially given you did check off the boxes. Normally, even when they're doing so, HIV screening itself, right? If you went in and answered
So to be honest with you, I was going to bring up too. In the past, my gynecologist would be like, I would be like, hey, can we do another, like, I would go in for my every 6 month or however often it was, checkups and stuff. And he would, that's what it was. It was every 6 months he'd look at my puss and then once a year do an HIV test. And so I asked if I could have it twice a year. I was like, I don't care if insurance doesn't cover it. Just let me know what I need to do. Otherwise I could do like AIDS Project Worcester or something like that.
Right.
And he literally was like, listen, Felicia, what you're doing right now with your sex, like with your, like the way that you have sex right now, you're not in a group at risk. You're not at risk because I was with a partner. I wasn't having anal sex. I wasn't doing riskier sex. I wasn't having extremely rough sex. Like he went through all that with me.
Yeah.
And he was like, it's really, really, really hard in your situation right now for you for me to justify giving you this test twice a year, but also for me to tell you that you're in a group that's probably going to contract HIV because you're not.
Right.
However, if I had, told him.
Felicia just shoved her fingers down her throat randomly.
If I had told that same gynecologist, I think now, and especially if he was a New York doctor,
right?
If I had told him now, especially with what I've, what I'm doing now, what my life looks like now, he would absolutely put me on PrEP, especially if I asked for it. It's one thing, it's one thing for them to suggest it. I can understand why it's still kind of weird to suggest it to a woman. But when a woman comes in and says, I have a friend that, like, he literally says, oh, on your paper it says you have a partner. And I was like, well, he's my best friend. I consider him my life partner, but he's not my physical partner. And he was like, oh, how many partners? You know, like, that was. So I was like, that partner is on HIV PrEP. Like, that's why.
We're having this discussion.
And he was just like, do you know what he did? He told me, he asked me if I saw the Queen movie. Like, not right after, but, like, after he had cleaned up from being in my pussy. No, it was. It was, like, the sweetest little endearing kind of weird transition.
So, look, my just to quickly put, like, you know, it's, like, my impression is the outreach effort is supposed to be as soon as somebody comes in with curiosity about it, like, the initiative is to do everything in your power to not let them leave without next steps for prep. Right. You know, either, like, meeting with a social worker, meeting with, like, a clinic that actually has a prep program, whatever is required. And, right. you know, certainly in Queens, those are all over the place.
And listen, maybe his thought was like, well, first we have to test you and go through all this. Let's get this out of the way.
Sure.
And, but the thing is, he didn't vocalize that. So he right. didn't say those words. So even if right. this were like a, okay, the next time you're here to get your IUD out conversation, he needs to say that to me. Yeah. Like,
you know what I would be curious?
He basically was just like, use condoms, kid.
It's, you know,
like,
what I would be curious about? Because they do need the HIV results to come back before they can put you on it.
Well, right. So that's what I thought.
What I'd be
thinking.
Curious is if the results come back, he may send you a message and say, do you want to go on PrEP? And he may actually just write you a prescription for it. Like,
maybe. I don't know. I don't think it's going to happen.
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
I'll get it.
You will. And I mean, honestly,
it's like, it was like the mission of getting my tubes tied. I'll figure it out.
if there's any, you know, healthcare providers listening, like, we, you know, we definitely need to talk about access for women in the same way we're talking, you know, like, I mean, we've done porns together. I sleep with men, like, you know, yeah. This is like, you know, they need to take that kind of idea seriously. If it's about, like, going to zero transmissions in New York State, that means you're going to have to get women on board, because there is a transmission rate for women in New York State. It's not zero.
Right. It isn't zero. Exactly.
So, you know, I mean...
I didn't come in as a paranoid person saying, right. I'm really nervous because right. I am afraid of the HIV epidemic. You know, right. like, I didn't say, like... I simply was like, I'm having risky behavior and I need to have a risk reducement,
right.
you know?
And there may be I think I made some assumptions, you know, having worked in healthcare, that like OBGYNs would make perfect sense to be like, you know, negotiating and talking to patients about PrEP, but perhaps, you know, that isn't the protocol, you know, at least for this hospital system. Who knows, Larry? It's like...
Well, you'd think he would say that.
You would think he would say that.
I just think he just wasn't interested in believing that I truly needed it. And that's okay, but I'm going to make sure he does.
Or
I will send him my ManyVids link when he texts me my HIV results.
Actually, you know what I think would be actually, you know, if you're...
And, you know, one of them says, like, you know, Felicia takes a cream pie. So, you know, sir, excuse me, sir, right. these links show otherwise. So.
I mean, all I would say is that if you're up for it, this could be a great opportunity. That's a busy clinic, and he's an OBGYN in a busy clinic. It would be great to get into his, like, kind of ethical mind, the idea that he should be talking to women about PrEP when they're, like, getting their pussies checked out there.
Well, I mean, I can't imagine most women are honest. I mean, not most women. Most people are not honest when they go to the doctor about how many partners they've had, what kind of sex they have.
Sure, that's fine. But, like, he doesn't even need to ask that to say, you know, are you sexually active? Are you with one partner? Like, he can ask simple questions.
Yeah, but sometimes people say yes.
It doesn't matter. You ask the questions to still offer it. Say, you know, I don't know if you've heard, there are also other, like, STI precautions now available. Like, it may not be appropriate for you, but if you're interested, we can get you more information about it.
Right.
It's just an intervention opportunity, is what I see.
Why wouldn't you just...
You don't have to throw it down.
Don't you get money as being the one that, like, writes the prescription anyways?
No.
Oh.
People do think that, but that used to happen in that... is one of the reasons the laws around that changed and why you can't give gifts to doctor's office anymore as a drug company.
Interesting.
Because the idea was you're buying that prescription.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Well,
fun fact.
I don't know.
Overall, though,
it was a good experience overall.
Okay.
Pubes. Okay. So, like, pubes on the floor, nail on the floor, and
no
dismissal
prep.
Of, no, not even no prep.
Right.
I could have had any concern, and dismissal of any concern.
Absolutely.
Especially when I don't sound like a hypochondriac. Like, I understand there are people that come in there and then you're like, okay.
Yeah.
Like, you know, some people, I understand. I have had friends that have lost their virginity and had, like, two partners and were like, I have HIV. And
right.
Like, sure. Yeah. Okay. Fine. That could be possible. But not everybody lives in the movie Kids where
correct.
The first person that you fuck gives you HIV. You
correct.
Know what I mean?
Correct. Correct.
So,
correct.
Like,
oh my God.
It's not like I went in there as, like, a hypochondriac or anything. Like, I went in there with a very sound mind, very nonchalant, sure. very chill, but also myself. I, you know, cracked a few jokes. I was silly, but I was also serious. Like, I was silly when I, you know, like when he was inside of my pussy and there was like a lull in conversation. I was like, how was the weather today? And he was just like, yep. The weather. Like, he didn't even know how to respond to it. Like, you know, it was kind of like, what the fuck? But like, when we were talking, I was very open and honest. I was like, I have, you know, I have a lot of sex and I'm having more and I want to be protected.
So he was good about that in general, it sounds like.
He was good. He was not judgmental. That's number one thing that I care about. And I told him that. I was like, I need a doctor with a sense of humor or at least someone who will laugh at my jokes.
Right.
Like my old gyno also was just very like to the point, but would laugh when I cracked the joke.
You have to somewhat have a
person. Right. Like I was like, so am I dying? He's like, well, I don't think so yet. You know, like, that's what I want. Like, I want a doctor who can, like, fuck with me back.
Yeah.
Like, because guess what? You know what? There is a chance I have HIV, right? Let's have
that. If you don't know your status.
Listen, let's have the elephant in the room conversation. I don't know my status right now, and I've had unprotected sex in the last 8 months.
Have you been honest with your partners about not knowing your status?
Yes. Cool. Well, no. Yes. Here's my thing. I've been honest to the point of the point I'm trying to make right now is the very true honest point. I have told my partners I've had unprotected sex, but I've had unprotected sex with few people. Now I'm currently getting into more sex. So you know what I mean? So I was realistic in my answer of, I don't know for sure. It's been X amount of months since I did know.
A lot of partners.
However, it hasn't been a lot. So I was honest in that way, but I wasn't honest in how I'm going to be right now.
Right.
The fact of the matter is I could very easily have HIV. Any of my partners out there, sexual partners that are listening, please do not be scared, okay?
But let's be
but
clear.
We
that's
need to be
anybody.
Honest. This is
that
anybody.
Could be anybody who
you
doesn't
have
know
unprotected sex or protected sex where there's a rough situation, there's ripping, there's bleeding, there's tearing, there's something happening where fluid fucking exchange occurs and it's the right type of fluid. You could also have it.
Well
so
said.
Condoms away, I don't give a fuck. At the end of the day, sex is sex. The only way to prevent HIV is to not have fucking sex, right? 100% prevention is what I'm trying to say. So therefore, I could have it right now as we speak.
If you don't know
and the
status,
fact of the matter is, I want a fucking doctor that I can have these tough conversations with that can handle that I might crack a fucking joke.
Yeah.
Because guess what? It's okay to be honest with yourself and realize that there are things you might have to face in life and you might have to, you know, conquer and overcome. And HIV is definitely one. That's why we want to fucking try to do risk reduction stuff because I don't want to get it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, that's why people need to have these honest conversations.
I digress. I'm not trying to scare anybody, but this conversation needs to happen with people because people don't realize, like, okay, oh, I just had sex with a few girls. Yeah, they're not having sex with other people. Okay, but like that doesn't mean you don't know your status. Like you, or that doesn't mean you know your status.
Well, and my biggest problem with that statement is then these fuckers go and be like, I got something from somebody, and it's all about shaming them and taking no like personal responsibility for their own sexual
health. Well, that's
the
other thing. Listen, you show up with the dick, you better show up with a motherfucking condom.
Right, exactly. It's not like you go to somebody's house.
I show up, and I'm talking about in a strictly heterosexual fucking situation, because that's all I can fucking speak upon in this current situation, right? Like, a lesbian situation is different, and I can talk about dental dams and things like that, but we know that HIV spreading between the lesbian community is very low. However, obviously, I'm a woman that has sex with men, so I have to be careful when I'm having sex with women. I get that, but let's not talk about that. Let's talk about strictly heterosexual men. You show up to slam a pussy and you motherfucker don't have an unexpired condom.
Not kept in your fucking wallet.
Not kept in your wallet, getting squished with the air coming out and the fucking holes
melting
and the
together.
Pricks and the, no, a fresh fucking condom you just bought at the goddamn bodega 5 minutes ago. If you don't have, that doesn't have dust on it from 1992. If you do not show up with a fucking condom, guess who doesn't have to, who doesn't get to have sex tonight? Your fucking ass. Fuck you.
Amen.
You have the... Listen, we got to put the tampons in. We got to put the birth control up there or in there or fucking through our blood. We implant a stick under our skin once every 3 years. we implant a fucking little piece of fucking thing with a fishing line on the end of it into our uterine lining, where it then creates a fucking force field around it to keep it there for 5 fucking years so that you motherfuckers could squirt your fucking semen inside of us at willy fucking nilly. You better bring the motherfucking condoms. Okay, how fucking broke you are. If you're too broke to have sex, you should be having sex.
Oh!
The fucking end. If you're too broke to pay for a girl's morning after pill, you don't fucking fuck her. If you're too broke to pay for an abortion, you don't fucking fuck a chick unprotected. I'm sorry. You don't do it. I'm done. It's my rant for the day. Are we done with this podcast now? Or do we have anything else?
I have a couple follow-up
questions. Oh, okay, yeah, what's up?
So, coincidentally, whatever. One of those two. I was thinking, remembering kind of like the early days of these conversations, like where you started, like your birthday falls on World AIDS Day, right?
Yeah.
And like, so this, the idea, not the idea of, the conversation about HIV has been like something you've had a conversation about as long as I've remembered,
right?
Like I've known you.
Absolutely.
And you know, like it's I think these things are so important. I was thinking in terms of that, and then this, you know, whole thing with the gyno today, remembering like it's corny and it dates me, but the Reality Bites movie with the episode where like they go to the clinic with a friend for like the first HIV test because there's like a scare around you know, and I'm like, oh, that's how we should be propping each other. And I had real hopes that like with that movie in like the 90s, people would be having more honest conversations about HIV and stuff. And I like, doesn't seem to be the case.
Right.
Mm. But like, you know, there's a very real reality that many of us grew up with this like whole idea that sex could equal death.
Right.
And that is like a really like, that's a big thing for a whole populace.
Right. Like I learned in second grade what AIDS was.
Right.
And I learned that if somebody's blood gets on you, you're gonna get it.
Yeah.
Like that's what I knew of it.
Oof. It's like, and like now, yes, with PrEP and U equals U, which for those of you who don't know means like if, you know, undetectable means untransmittable. And that means if you're taking, you're positive and you're taking your medications as you should and have no viral load, you can't transmit HIV.
Which they talked about on Empire.
They did actually. I remember that episode.
Unfortunately, Jussie is not exactly, you know.
We'll leave that hanging somewhere in the air. Yeah. Anyway.
I'm just saying it's a controversial thing, but that episode was really great. Shonda knows how to do it.
That was a great, you know, for that. And you know, we can't deny that something has changed in the culture in terms of like how we need to start talking about sex again, because new things have happened, new developments have happened, and these things are powerful, especially for the queer community, but also for the heterosexual community. You know, like to me, my heterosexual friends, it always sounds like, I know the like risk goes down with each of these groups, but it always sounded like Russian roulette to me, where it's like, oh, since I'm not really a high risk category, like fuck it, you know, it probably won't happen, you know, which to me doesn't, like, I don't have the benefit of having that kind of sex where I don't have to worry.
Well, the problem is that we were ingrained first in the heterosexual community. I don't want to say we, because I wasn't a part of it, but as a half member of it, you know, as a person who sees that side of it in a closer way.
Yeah.
The first order of business is don't get the bitch prego. Right.
Right.
And that was always the number one concern. And so then when it's like, oh, well, birth control is a thing now.
Right.
And even still it doesn't, oh, there's a plan B pill. Well, guess what? There isn't. There isn't a plan B pill for when you contract something.
Right.
You can't go the next day and get an anti herpes pill. Like, correct. It's not something you there's can erase of, the next day.
Exactly.
You can erase the pregnancy. You can erase it the next day. You can also erase it up to fucking 20 months after.
You can't erase HPV. You can't erase, you know, all sorts of things.
Exactly.
Which isn't to be scary, but it's to be educated. Like,
it's definitely a conversation that not enough heterosexual people have because, you know, they don't know enough people that talk about being afflicted with XYZ or whatever it is. And at the end of the day, it's I think a lot of people are also just not simply getting tested to avoid knowing.
it's like out of sight, out of mind. It's like, well, right. It's not out of sight, out of mind when your next partner gets tested and calls you up and tells you that you gave her herpes. Or
right. And so this conversation has been coming up a lot. And in order for us to all have those conversations as like people are having sex with each other, we again need to talk like about that shame, which is the real elephant in the room. We need to learn how to be able to hold the space for somebody to tell us they may have given us something.
Absolutely.
In a non-judgmental and like ready to hear it with the idea of community safety.
Listen,
with
if the idea two of sexual people, safety. It doesn't matter if the person showed you if I showed you tomorrow that I just got tested yesterday and I was clean. Guess what? There's an incubation period for all STDs.
Absolutely.
Most STIs, I keep saying STDs. Most STIs have an incubation period. So if I had sex this weekend and caught something, even if I got tested Wednesday, it might not show up. So at the end of the day, even if somebody showed you their fucking paperwork, there's no guarantee in anything. If you choose to have unprotected sex, that's your choice.
Right.
That is not on the other person. I don't even care if they lied to you. Right. If they, okay, sure, yes. Obviously, it's extremely fucked up if somebody lies to you. But that's the point. If you don't trust somebody enough to even know if they're lying or not, then you probably shouldn't trust them enough with your physical body and not use a condom.
Right. And, because I think, you know, we talk about a lot of these things, and because we talk about them in a nonchalant way, we don't, you know, we forget that we're not ashamed. And but to remind people, we understand that that's also an obstacle to some of these conversations. I know it's like, oh, we're like, just do it. It's fine. But I get it. Like we're brought up to be shamed around sex, and like, you know, we just have to have the conversation together. And that is part of like being nonchalant about it. It's like, if I can say the word pussy, butt fuck, fucking HIV, period, all this stuff out loud.
Well, also, the other thing is being educated. If you understand that herpes is not going to go away, but gonorrhea is.
Right.
You know, I'm not saying that there should be more of shame around one versus the other. I'm just simply saying, if you have education, when you do, you know, come in contact with something, or if you do get, you know, contract something or whatever it is, your level of shit hitting the fan is going to be a lot less if you are educated.
Right.
If you get a bump on your fucking dick and you don't know what the fuck it's from, and you're freaking the fuck out, and you don't realize that that's just ingrown hair, and you start accusing the last girl of giving you herpes because you're uneducated about what it looks like. Don't do your own WebMD shit, obviously. But you can also get actual books and literature on this stuff. Like, actual stuff from actual legit sources. Right. You can also pick this stuff up at your local Planned Parenthood. You can call them up and actually ask them, what are the signs I have gonorrhea?
Right.
What's that versus chlamydia? I'm not sure. I actually think that I might have either a yeast infection or bacterial vaginosis. Right. What does that look like? Those aren't even STIs, but those are things that obviously afflict our fucking bodies. And sometimes they mask themselves as what could be an STI.
Right.
So instead of shitting your fucking brains out about something that might just be cleared up with a fucking clindamycin, you know what I mean? Like, you... knowing this information is helpful.
Yeah.
Like, I know right now, if they came back with, oh, you don't have HIV, but you have chlamydia, okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
And my prescription is now ordered at Rite Aid, and I can pick it up tomorrow, and it'll be gone in a week. Okay.
Exactly.
And I got to phone a friend to my last however many partners, figure that out. And you know what I mean? Like, okay. It's not...
Yeah.
Where is the shame?
Right.
There is no shame. And even still, you do have HIV. Where is the shame? Anybody can get any one of these things.
Yeah.
There is nobody that is exempt from the rules.
Right.
Doesn't matter how much privilege, how much knowledge, how much education, but the education you do have can help you with the aftermath if you do get something.
Yeah.
So if you have something or you think you have something, it's a lot easier to cope with it if you understand what that means to you and what it means for your future.
Right.
If you understand that herpes means that you now have to watch out for outbreaks, right? You might be able to be put on a medication that controls those outbreaks. If you understand that, you know, there's a certain discharge that comes with gonorrhea that doesn't come with chlamydia. If you understand that bacterial vaginosis is simply a pH imbalance inside of your body that's bacteria caused and not an actual sexually transmitted disease and or infection. And you understand that it didn't necessarily come from somebody's penis. Things like that are really helpful to know.
Absolutely.
And the more you know about those things,
the easier it is to digest whatever information comes your way, and also to navigate sex healthy with other people.
Right. And to go with that, my two final points are that they're this conversation, I know people hate it, it's like, oh, STD is so unsexy. But here's my point. Like, my two final things around it is fear and shame go hand in hand. What we don't know, we get afraid of, and therefore we don't share and we don't talk about. That's shame, right? So right. With this, like, one of the reasons we don't use the term STD anymore is because of the implication that you get a sexually transmitted whatever, and we call it a disease, and that's like a lifelong debilitating thing.
Right.
That's not what STIs are. Right. So now we say
Very few of them are right. diseases.
And so now we say sexually transmitted illness, and this makes more sense. And here's why. I make this point to people all the time. You get a cold, I'm sorry, I get really pissed off when people are sick and they come hang out with me and they have a cold, because like colds fucking suck. I would rather get, I fucking swear I stick by this, I'd rather get chlamydia any day over a fucking cold, because you know what? They're too bacterial based or back viral, okay, colds are viral, whatever. They're two illnesses that make you feel ill and cause symptoms. One, that as soon as you feel it, you may have discomfort for like 5-7 hours if you go to the doctor right away. Mm-hmm. And then after your first dose of antibiotics, you never have a symptom for like the next 7 days of your antibiotic. Colds, nothing to take. You mask the symptoms. You're tired. You're fucked up for the whole week, maybe 10 days, maybe 12 days. All I'm saying is, why did we create this hierarchy? Right. These are both illnesses that other human beings are giving, because that's what human right. beings and animals do.
We're interacting.
They have contagions that live on our bodies, that live in the environment, and we give them to each other. Fuck you. There's no judgment over chlamydia versus a cold. At least with chlamydia, you most likely don't know you have it. With a cold, motherfucker, you come over to my house, you're giving it to me on purpose.
However, I will say, not to distract from what you said, no. But I don't want to also detract from the severity of having a sexually transmitted illness and not telling a partner.
Absolutely.
And spreading it, only because
Absolutely.
You are risking a woman's fertility at that
right.
point.
Absolutely.
And I know that there are long-term effects on certain STIs for men as well, but let's
sure.
look at the numbers, and the numbers say you're very much more likely as a woman to have a long-term effect of something like endometriosis or something like that if you have untreated HPV chlamydia. Now, if we
yeah.
go by the treated rule of if you catch the cold versus you catch the chlamydia and you treat it, fine.
Yeah.
You're valid
no, my
100%.
Only, my only point with that was
no,
about
I,
shame.
No,
we need
I,
to get to a point
100%.
Where like, you
we
feel the
be
same
able to
way
talk.
About telling
exactly.
somebody you have a cold
exactly.
as you have chlamydia.
Exactly. Exactly. And you also need, but you also need to understand that one
right.
is important,
you
know?
Like, absolutely. Like HPV causes many strains of
cancer
in women
exactly.
and men.
Right.
So like that is kind of an important thing to mention you have. And, any of these kind of things that we can contract from the fucking environment. And like, remember, we live on this planet with tons of other billions and billions of little tiny beings we can't fucking see. And they, mm-hmm. some of them hurt the fuck out of us, and some of us are there to help us. So, you know, it's a crapshoot is all I'm saying. Like, you can't have shame around a fucking crapshoot.
Right, exactly.
You know, you can do harm reduction, have sex with partners you know and trust. That is still a good thing, you know? Like, I'm not saying hooking up is a bad thing. I'm just saying in the terms of harm reduction,
right.
these are things you can do, you know?
Absolutely.
Anyway, anything else you want? I just want to say thank you for sharing. I know
yeah.
like I know it's easy for you, but I'm sure some people are like
it's not
she shared her gyno visit.
It's not well the first part was easy. The second
yeah.
part about let's be honest, I could have HIV. There are a lot of people that listen to this podcast that might come back and shame me. I don't know. You know what I mean? Like I have some sexual partners or past partners that aren't necessarily very close with me that might not handle that information okay, and that's okay. You know what I mean?
That's,
like
that's truth. It's
but
real life.
I just want people to understand it's not easy. It's not as easy for me as people think as
Fair.
Well. Right? Like it. Sure. It seems like it's easy, but walking into the office today was just as nerve wracking for me as it was in telling a man that I'm a sex worker that before
Absolutely.
He enters my pussy with his two fingers
Absolutely.
And rubs my tits. You know, like that's a weird thing. It
yeah,
is. And
true.
So I just want people to understand, like, I go through the motions of being uncomfortable too. But I find ways to make myself comfortable. And number one thing is education. And the number two thing is owning that I am who I am. And if I have made any mistakes as far as, you know, with trusting my body with somebody or something like that, there's only one thing I can do now, which is to look at the future and figure out how to fix it, move on, and not make that mistake again. And that's all.
That's awesome.
But I hope, you know, if anybody has anything, any questions about STIs, HIV, reaching out, getting tested, anything where you just don't, you're having a weird moment. Like, I have one friend that he's a little younger. He'll call me and be like, I think I have herpes. I'm like, no, you don't, honey. Show me a photo. Like, I don't care. Yeah. You can show me, like, my friend had me sniff her pussy the other day to see if she had, like, BV. I was like, no, baby girl, that's just, you know, that's your day after your period, usually, like, schmeggy day, you know what I mean?
Yeah, just keep in mind, like,
we're... So I'm very open, and I will help you, and I will make sure that you feel very comfortable with whatever topic, if you have one of these that you... Because I don't always say, like, hit me up for all these questions, because I don't always...
Well, I would just say with that, remember, we're not, like, trained professionals in any of these topics, but we have a lot of networks and access to individuals who are, and...
Oh, right. You know, I'll never frame, like I know this, yeah, I know that. I believe this information based off of what I have done.
I wasn't saying that's a liability check you. I was just saying, like, even with what we know more via the people that we know. So keep in mind, if you don't know who to ask...
Well,
like,
not even ask. Even if you just have to talk to somebody about something, right? Like, absolutely. Hey, I have a thing wrong with my genitals.
Yep.
Or I think. Or... And I don't want to say wrong. It doesn't have to be wrong, right? It's just a new version.
Right.
And that new version might have to be combated with medicine, or it might have to be just watched over. Whatever. Right. You have to remember, like, we mutate ourselves and these, like, illnesses and diseases and whatever it is, these things mutate themselves and they travel with us for life sometimes, and we have to figure out ways to work with them. So,
well, it's... I do understand that healthcare is a privilege in our current system in the U.S., so... Sometimes you need somebody to talk to because you know you can't afford to seek medical advice. And, like, we're not medical people, but, like, we certainly know what that looks like. So, you know, if you're freaking out about something and need to be talked down or need to know if this is the time where you need to, like, muster up and go into debt for this healthcare bill, like, you know, feel free to reach out to you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, guys, for listening. Thanks. Once again, you can follow us everywhere, and we love you.
Bye, guys.
Use condoms.